Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoof Hound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me for this month's episode, as he always does, is Maryville Superintendent Logan Lightfoot. But this month, we are also joined by the next principal of the Maryville Middle School, Kate Lydon. I want to thank you both for joining me this morning. It's always, you know, weird for interviews on where to start, but I guess I'll start way back before anything and ask, you know, tell us about your background and what is it that interested you in teaching?
Well, I guess this is my 18th year in education. I started as a paraprofessional. Interestingly, if I go back further than that, I actually had thought about being a history teacher in high school, and for one reason or another, I went to college and got a communications degree instead, and I quickly realized the business field was not where I needed to be. And so I went and I was a para for a year, and that just really ignited my spark for education. I was working with special education students, helping them with their different assessments and meeting the accommodations that they needed. And so from there, I launched into doing a master's in teaching history here at Northwest. Well, I was a GA and a librarian at Horace Mann here. From here, I went to Truman Middle School in St. Joseph, Missouri, and taught 8th grade social studies. Really had a great opportunities there to be on leadership teams, department chair. I coached cheerleading. I got to be like the, we had called it, it was called WEB. It was a mentoring program. Got to be a leader for that. So just really continued to be involved in education. And from there, I knew I wanted to have an even larger impact on schools. And became an assistant principal here in Maryville 8 years ago. And so this is my 8th year, and I was fortunate enough to be hired to take over for when Mr. Pitts leaves next year.
So what was the process like hiring for the position? You know, and maybe both of you can talk about it from both your perspectives of what that was like, because I find the interview process always fascinating for how it works in schools, basically, because I feel like you guys have probably an interesting set of like candidates to pore over. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, where what is on paper and what it is like interviewing them can only go so far. And, you know, I guess a little bit of how the sausage is made, as they say.
You bet. Well, Jeremy, I walking into to my position here as superintendent, I think very highly of Maryville School District, but I also know that our area and the state thinks very highly of Maryville School District. And I think our school district is held in high regard because of the schools that we have and the programs we offer. And Maryville Middle School is a huge part of our school district. And I would say, you know, I would call that a flagship school in our school district. And so that was when Mr. Pitts announced his retirement. I mean, I knew that was going to be a position that was going to probably draw a lot of interest, which is a good thing for us. And, you know, I shared with the staff when I met with them that we were hoping to get a lot of really qualified candidates to come in and, you know, apply, because that's only a good thing for us. And so what I really wanted to do, you know, as the district leader, is I wanted to garner a lot of feedback from our staff. You know, our middle school staff, we've got a really nice mix. We've got some younger teachers that are, you know, kind of bringing some new ideas and are very excited about the teaching profession. And boy, do we have some teachers that are just some wonderful veteran teachers that just have a lot of wisdom and really do know, I call it the art of teaching, and they have that. And so to be able to have that kind of unique mix, we really wanted to find a leader that was going to be able to really take those next steps and be able to, you know, guide those younger teachers and also lead our veteran teachers. And so we garnered some feedback from them, I would say probably around October or so, did some staff surveying and feedback and that kind of thing, and collected applications. And we had some folks apply that were very, very qualified for the position and very accomplished. And in doing so, we went through and narrowed the list down a little bit and called some finalists in. And ended up, and I had a small committee of some school leaders, and we talked to people, and I will tell you, Jeremy, through that process, Ms. Lydon absolutely shined. Her passion for, number one, the middle school child and teaching middle school just stood out, but also her desire and passion to lead Maryville Middle School was just, it was a cut above, and we're thrilled to have her as our middle school principal next year.
So, as an introvert, was the interview process, did you have to go to the middle school and just meet everybody there during the interview process? Because that's...
Well, I work there right now, so that was actually, it was kind of, I think, it was unique because okay. there was a committee of teachers working, and they were all very professional and very quiet, but I knew there was work going on behind the scenes, and so I was just doing my daily job as the assistant principal while Mr. or Dr. Lightfoot and the committee went through their process to get to the interviews.
So was there, I guess, you know, how, you know, when you're in that kind of environment working with colleagues and all of a sudden they're looking at you in a different light, they're evaluating you, you know, in several different ways. Is that kind of daunting to deal with?
I would say it was a little stressful. I think it's a little bit of, I am an administrator, so I kind of have, it's a shift in the role, but I kind of already have that leadership position there. But it's more, people are coming to me with a lot of what if questions during the process, like, or when you get this, or what if you don't get this? And, you know, just kind of those questions are hard to field. But as the assistant principal, I say, you know, you're just constantly running on that position. You're busy. And so there wasn't a lot of talk. Everyone was pretty good. They were pretty professional. We just kind of waited the process out because it does take a while. And I'm glad it turned out the way it did for me.
How many people do you think you talked with for this job? I feel like in that kind of position, it almost feels like you have to interview everyone from top to bottom or talk with everybody from top to bottom in the school district.
Well, I can actually speak to that a little bit. Just philosophy-wise, you know, with leadership positions, you build your resume based on, you know, not necessarily an hour or two-hour interview. You kind of build your resume based on how you're able to lead and treat others. And boy, does that come through just in the entire process. So, you know, from the time you submit your applications and, you know, doing reference checks and things like that, really a person's character kind of gets revealed a little bit. And then just the actual interview process itself, I mean, I wouldn't call it brief. And I don't think Ms. Lydon probably would either, but that's probably kind of that's one piece of it for sure. But really when you go through that process of interviewing and applying for a leadership position, we really kind of look at the whole person. And really from my perspective, from a district perspective, we needed to really find that right fit. And the right fit for us, middle school is so unique. And, you know, it's just, there's elementary school and there's high school. And, you know, those are certainly kind of they have their own sets of opportunities and things like that. But that middle level, you know, when you've got that age group of kids, and where Maryville Middle School, we have a teaming concept with teachers, it really does take a leader with a really unique skill set that really has a desire to want to be there. And that was kind of how I really wanted our process to go, is we wanted to identify that leader that is going to be able to step into a position like that and be able to, you know, be successful relatively early on, but also kind of have a vision for the next 5 to 10 years, what that's going to look like.
And so what's the community response been like so far after the announcement? I know it's been a little over a month now.
Yeah, it has been. And I would say there's a lot of excitement. And, you know, Mr. Pitts has been just such a wonderful asset for our school district. And, you know, he's been, and Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, 23 years right around mm-hmm. there. So and just done so many wonderful things for Maryville kids and Maryville staff. And so, you know, we're sad to see him retire, you know, just because he's done so many great things. But boy, there's an excitement in the air to have Ms. Lydon come in and lead. And kind of whenever you bring in a new leader, there is a new vision, right? And not that it's going to be totally brand new and we're going to be shifting courses, but gosh, just different ideas and things like that. And I would say overall, there's a level of excitement there for sure.
What's the student reaction been like?
It's been really positive. I say our community is very supportive, and in a leadership position, as school leadership, there's going to be people that don't always agree with you, but you're always just trying to make the decision that's best with what knowledge you have at your fingertips at that time. And so really, I think that my time here has shown that, and shown that integrity to both staff and students and parents and my other colleagues as well. It's funny to just see, you know, fifth graders and sixth graders are, we talked about how middle schoolers are so different. It's almost, you know, the growth from fifth to sixth grade is phenomenal, and then you go fifth to eighth grade. But our fifth graders are just so excited. You know, they're waving at me in the lunchroom, congratulations. You know, the eighth graders they'll walk by and say, congrats, Ms. Leiden. You know, so it's just different. But I've had some wonderful parents reach out. Just people stop me in the community and tell me congratulations. It's a really exciting time, and I think, you know, like Dr. Lightfoot said, Mr. Pitts is really a pillar in the community here, and that middle school, he's been there since it opened, and so it's a big change. But I think some of our staff feels comfort knowing that I've worked under him, and so that those traditions that we like to celebrate are going to continue. We're going to continue on with a lot of those traditions at the middle school. So everyone, you know, I'm sure there's people that maybe don't always have the most favorable things, but everyone I've talked to has been very positive and very supportive.
And so what's the, or, you know, I assume transition has already begun, but what's the transition like going to be for the next several months?
It has already begun, and it's kind of interesting how this was announced the Tuesday before we left for winter break, and then we came back and hit the ground running. We, in education, the hiring process starts really administrators kind of in the November, December, January time, and then teachers, this is now when a lot of the openings come up and we start looking. So, yeah, I've got to do some interviews, some background checks, some reference calls, really trying to get all of that stuff going to set up my team for next year. So it's interesting to be doing that for the first time, but I have great support. I have an admin team that we're all very close, and I've talked to Mr. Pitts, and like, if I need advice, he's there to help me. Dr. Lightfoot, Mr. Klotz, all of them, I've sought their input just on suggestions in the hiring process. Looking at some calendar things and scheduling. So all those little pieces that come out in August, really start to impact education in August, actually start the planning now. So a lot of the planning is in the works already for next year.
So are there any big or major changes people can expect once your tenure begins?
No, I mean, I think the first year, anytime you take over in a school, you really have to go in and just get a feel for it. And I do have a feel for it, but I don't want to shake the bottle up and make things crazy. So we'll continue with our Leader in Me programs. We'll continue being in teams and grade levels. We'll continue putting kids first. And we truly have the philosophy that it's the kids' buildings, and then we're there to run it. And we are there to help develop them as a whole child. So those philosophies are the core of a strong middle school, and that's the core of what we will continue to be.
So this is something that I think I was not a very participative person in high school, but I think we did this in high school when we got a new principal. So I'm curious, is there going to be a hazing process for you when you take over with the students? Either I don't know how kids even haze, you know, the adults anymore, but
I think that's happened for the last 7 years.
Oh, I just called being the assistant principal.
Yeah, it's called being the assistant principal and doing the discipline. No, I'm just teasing. I hope not. I don't know. We'll see.
No, like tie dye your hair. Or
oh, well,
some
I mean,
other...
No, probably not. We'll probably just continue on with. I love our kids. We have great students, And so hopefully we just get to roll on. I am excited to have someone else kind of take over the discipline role and get to do some more fun stuff with kids.
And so your position now, has that been filled?
Not yet.
It is not. We're actually kind of in the middle of accepting applications, and we're going to be, I would say, within the next couple of weeks starting the interview process for that.
Mm-hmm. And will you have a say in the hiring process? I assume so.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And what is it that you're looking for out of your former role?
We need somebody who has this, understands middle school philosophy, as we talked about, is really a genuine person and caring. Kids in middle school are just really unique. They're becoming to that point where they're finding themselves, they're individuals, and they feel independence, but at the same time, they need somebody there to help guide them along the way. So I need someone that understands that that age of child, and we range from 10 to 15. I need someone, like I said, that's genuine, that's really doing what's best. I want somebody that has great communication. A lot of times I'm working in this current role with parents, with counselors, with students, all different types of stakeholders in order to help either a student be successful or help a family out. And so somebody that has good communication, like I said, that has good relationships and really understands the middle school process. It's always beneficial if we can find somebody that has some good instructional and curriculum knowledge. I think that's a pillar of leadership that is growing even more as we continue in my education journey. So.
Okay. And when can we expect news on who could potentially be replacing, or at least filling that role, I should say?
Oh, great question, Jeremy.
Replacing makes it sound like you're leaving. You're not.
I'm hoping to make a recommendation to our board at the February board meeting.
Okay. Well, not to steal your thunder, but I think that's a good transition point of, this month's board meeting. I know there was a discussion of, and I have a frog in my throat, so I'm going to try and continue, but I'm curious as to, what the latest is on your long-range plan, because I know there was an update at the board meeting this month.
Yes, absolutely. So we're moving along really nicely with that. excuse me, February the 1st, and we're having a board work session and absolutely open to the public at 6 p.m. If anyone's interested, please, we'd love to have anybody out to listen and kind of into our conversation. Really what we're going to do that evening, Insight Design, which is our architect group, is kind of helping us guide us through our planning process. We have had over the fall, kind of give you a Reader's Digest. We've had a team of architects and a team of engineers go through each one of our current facilities and go through and basically, for lack of a better term, grade our facilities. So, you know, all the working components, our HVAC systems, our roof, all those kinds of things, assess all of those components to each of our buildings. We have surveyed all of our staff, so classified and certified staff, and this team has put all that data together and has given kind of a comprehensive score to each one of our buildings. And so what they're going to do on February 1st is come in and present those scores to our board. We're going to talk about what our current facilities kind of look like, what deferred maintenance, which deferred maintenance is kind of a fancy term for what are things that kind of need to be done maintenance-wise to make sure the building keeps going and keeps being functional. So what are some priorities for deferred maintenance? And then really kind of starting to look at what are those next steps to forming that 5, 10, and 15-year plan. And then the second piece we're going to talk about is, you know, we've got about 2-3 months left in the planning process before we finalize our plan. How, you know, what are ways that we're really going to engage our community, engage our public, and getting their input on that as well. So it'll be a great meeting. It really will be.
So, you know, once that meeting's done, then, in the grading, what's next?
Well, we kind of, like I said, we want to develop some kind of a way where we can talk to, you know, some of our parents, some of our community members that maybe have lived here for a long time or have had kids go through the school district or are going through the school district. What are some needs that they potentially identify from their perspective on facilities and maybe kind of get their viewpoint as well?
And will that be something sent to home, or is that like just kind of we're putting it out there and we're just going to let you respond if need be?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit of both. We're looking at right now exactly how it's going to look, but we kind of want to provide a couple of different opportunities to do that. I mean, we realize this time of year especially, it's busy. The weather can be a little bit unpredictable, and so we want to provide a way that you maybe jump online and provide that feedback, and also if there are people just like myself that really value that in-person kind of, you know, meetings, those kinds of things, then we want to do that as well.
Okay. And, you know, we didn't meet last month, but I was going to ask, last month if we did meet to interview, you know, what is it that, you know, I know the school year is planned out because it's like, you know, 22, 23, but what kind of planning and ideas do you have going forward through the rest of this school year before summer break that you kind of want to accomplish?
Jeremy, great question. Really what we're looking at right now, I would say probably we started this in December and we'll probably wrap it up in February. myself and Mr. Klotz as a district team, we're really looking at our in terms of programming for our building. So, you know, we're looking at student needs. And so what are some things we really need to do to support our individual buildings? You know, maybe it's adding a little bit of personnel or programming, those kinds of things. But what specifically do our students need to be successful that they're not getting right now? And so, you know, and I'm not talking about wholesale adding, you know, huge amounts of anything, but what are some of those little things that really, I mean, they're not so little in reality, but what are some of those things, you know, programming support maybe for our students that, you know, might be gifted students or might be students that might be struggling? What are things we can do to really support those kids that we don't see right now? And so we're kind of in the process right now looking through that. We're looking at the secondary level and the middle school level, you know, on those kinds of things. We have, just as an example, Ms. Corson, our gifted teacher, she's retiring. And so we're looking at ways that how can we continue to grow our gifted program, you know, at all levels and also support our high school programming as well. So those are kind of things we're looking at. And I would anticipate probably by the February board meeting, we're going to have those positions and those supports kind of in place and ready to advertise if needed.
You know, one of the other aspects that I don't feel like ever really gets talked about enough that happens in the spring part of the school year is the start of the legislative session in Missouri. And this is an interesting year because we have a new state representative and state senator going to Jefferson City to potentially fight for the interests of, you know, the Maryville School District. So is there anything you guys are keeping an eye on in Jefferson City, you know, that either you're excited about or a little concerned about?
You bet. And we are, to answer your question. This legislative session is going to be very interesting. I mean, I just looked at the pre-filings on the bills, you know, before session even started. And I mean, just a huge number of those. And I don't think I'm terribly far off, but I think there was probably of those pre-files, there's probably 300 of those that directly affected public education. And so when you just think about that right there, I mean, that's going to be a lot that goes through those committees that gets discussed and a lot of things that could directly affect Maryville are too. And so that's something we're certainly keeping an eye on. You know, in terms of things that are specific to Maryville, Maryville is a unique school district because we have rural components for certain. I mean, Nottoway County is considered, you know, it's a rural county, but we're a school district of 1,400 to 1,500 students. And so we don't necessarily fit that mold of a small rural school. You know, we have needs of larger school districts, but at the same time, we're not a, you know, suburban school district. And so we really do, just when you talk about state funding mechanisms, when you talk about, you know, how you're going to fund ADA, all those kinds of things, we're just a little bit unique. And so is there one specific issue that I'm really kind of honing in on? Not necessarily at this point. I think we're early enough in session to where I'm kind of just watching myself. And I know just from history, as things shake out, there's going to be things that kind of shake to the top, and there will certainly be things we're going to probably advocate for our kids and our school on. But at this point, I'm kind of curious, just like you are, to see what's going to rise to the priorities.
So,
I sit on a board and actually got to talk to some lobbyists in January. And there was 956, for some reason that's the number, it's right around there, that were pre-filed. And so a lot of them, like you kind of nailed it, it's a lot of different things, but there's a lot of funding. There's open enrollment, I know that's a big one, and that's something Nottoway County, I think, I'm not going to speak for or against or say that there's different schools and different sizes, it'll impact them very differently. So I would say that would be one that I think as a state to really watch is if...
Which one is open enrollment?
I can't remember like the specific number, but not open enrollment's something that's been done in a lot of other states. It just allows student choice as to where they go. And so that will affect the funding as far as where. So if a student, and I don't even want to say another school district, but another school student decided to come to Maryville, then that money would be transferred or vice versa. So that's a big thing that's going on right now.
Is that one of those things, I think they did it in Arizona last year, where they allocate a certain amount of money to families with kids, and then that goes towards, you know, where they need to go, if they want to go to private school or something.
Right. Okay. It can be pretty nuanced. It can, and gosh, Jeremy, it can vary by state and even, you know, by the language of the bill. There are some, and I wasn't in Missouri last year, so I don't you know, quote me on this one, but I don't even know if any funding was attached to it last year. So, I mean, right now there's really nothing that's made it to the floor or anything like that, obviously. And so I'll be kind of curious to see how that progresses.
Yeah, that's just one I would say that's going to be the highly debated.
Okay. And have you had a chance to meet with the new lawmakers?
So I've had a chance to briefly connect. Really, I'm going to be, once session is over, there's the kind of the cliche is schools need to tell their story, and really that's going to be something very important for Maryville. We're going to have a lot of our legislators and decision makers out to visit our schools. I mean, we've got wonderful things going on in our schools, but on the flip side too, we have needs as well, and so we want to make sure we tell our story to our legislators. And and just from what I've met from both of them, they do want what's best for Missouri children, and that's something. If we can have common ground on that, absolutely, we've got a place that we can find common ground and a place to start for sure.
Well, I definitely don't say this politically. I kind of just say it as a general observer. But with Representative Farnan, I think you do kind of have someone in the boxing ring with you.
Absolutely, and we had a chance to meet at a Rotary event earlier this year, and just a very kind person. And mm-hmm. Just from meeting him, I think his heart is certainly in it for the right reasons. So,
is there anything else coming up that you would like to mention, or is there?
I'm going to kind of give a brief fly through the schools if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine.
We've got to. I mean, just it's been. I say there's not much going on. I say that as a the school district operations. Schools are flying. We've got a lot of great things going on. Elementary wise, I want to mention with our early childhood center, we're busting at the seams, and that's a great thing. We have preschool registration coming up in February. That's February 7th through the 11th. And then we also have our preschool screening in March. And so great opportunities for our folks that do have some of those younger students. We want to get those students involved in our preschool for sure.
Is that like an interview or
no? Good question. I should specify that.
So. Sorry, the word screening kind of like just sent up a signal to my brain where I was like, screening.
No, if you've never had a student go through preschool screening, I should probably explain that.
Yeah.
Basically, that is if you've got a preschool age student and you're going to send that student to Maryville Preschool, we like to get a chance to see just where your child is. So in terms of hearing, in terms of sight, vision, all those kinds of things, just kind of get a baseline where our kids are. If we can serve your child a little bit better in any ways, that screening will kind of show us. And so just a way to kind of get to know our kids a little bit better.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Nope, that's okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt your flow.
When you hear that the first time, that's kind of an odd. Yeah.
Well, as someone who doesn't have kids, a lot of things about kids kind of makes me go, "What was that again?"
I understand the question. At Eugene Field Elementary, wise, I mean, we've had some. We're having it, the student SWAT team is always fun, and that's acronym for Spoof Hounds Working as a Team, and that actually kind of transitions really well into over at the middle school with Miss Lyde and Mr. Pitts and to what they do with their Lighthouse team. And it's a way to really build leadership within students. And one thing I really like about that elementary program is just the fact that you're building tangible leadership skills in younger students. And so I remember when I got the job as superintendent, I got a building tour, not from adults. I got a building tour from a second grader and a third grader.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was awesome. Yeah, and they did a great job. And so just things like
they show you all the secrets that they only knew about.
And that, yes, and they, I got the lowdown on the lunch food. I got the, all that kind of stuff. So it was really neat. And so when you go in the mornings, you've got the students making the announcements, all those things. It really gives the kids a chance on ownership of the building. And anyway, they're rolling over now. And so we've got a whole new group of student leaders that are coming in there. So that's pretty exciting.
So this isn't me like saying anything bad or poor about the children, but I feel like children giving you a tour of the school is like the inmates running the asylum of, oh, well, there's the lunch lady who gives you extra this. Yeah, go to her.
You would think, but I will tell you, between elementary school and middle school, last January when I came up and did tours of the buildings, and I literally didn't know, maybe five staff members, and getting a chance to get a tour from students, I learned more about those schools. It was fantastic, and they were great. I mean, great kids, and so really kind of gave me an insight into the school building, but also really gave me an insight into the mind of our students. And so it was really neat.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I feel like you need to offer like tours by students more. That sounds like something fun that parents would enjoy.
That's a neat idea. Yeah. They do a great job with it. That's kind of a reflection too. When you've got a strong leadership program with kids, that's mm-hmm. a reflection on your leadership as adults. And so that speaks volumes to your administration, your teachers. And if they value those leadership programs, it's going to really show with your kids. So that's a good one. Want to recognize kind of a neat little shout out. We had a third grade student, Jake Breeding. He was actually recognized as a Frito-Lay Honorary Employee of the Day last week. We had in the third grade, they do informative writing, and Jake wrote a letter to Frito-Lay and actually used some kind of a term that they branded on social media for some of their chips, and Frito-Lay came down from Topeka, gave every student in the school a bag of chips, and Chester Cheetah came down, and Jake got to be Employee of the Day, and it was kind of neat.
Now, I'm curious, what chips did they bring? Because I feel like that's a very important question.
Yeah, I can tell you, I came home that night, and my pantry had these, like, flaming hot something. There was Cheetos, and there was jalapeno something.
Oh, the jalapeno cheddar.
It was something I took one, and I was good, but yeah.
I mean, as a young person, I can still do that, but I also am getting to the point where I'm like, why is everything spicy?
Yeah, so that was a neat experience. So, good stuff for Jake, and yeah, that was kind of it's always neat to be able to see students get recognized for something like that. So, great stuff going on at the elementary, that's for sure.
I'm just still wrapped up. I'm still caught up on the Chester Cheeto thing.
Yeah, showing up. He showed up.
Did they bring any of the weird flavors they do?
They did. Yeah, they had all these kind of unique. I think they brought some of the like the bags of stuff they're maybe previewing, or I don't know. I didn't get a chance to get down there when they were actually there, but I think some of the stuff they had was some of their new product. So
because they do those weird flavor votings, I think they still do that, and they've had some clever ideas. Like they had one. It was like mashed potatoes, biscuits and gravy.
On a chip.
Yeah, but it was, you could tell it was like heavy on sage.
Oh boy!
Fried green tomatoes was one year.
That'd be an interesting one.
Worst one, cappuccino.
Ew. I'd go cappuccino over B&G.
Really?
I would. I mean, I'm just saying. You can't combine a chip with biscuits and gravy. Two things great separately. You can't marry the two.
Now, have you ever had a chocolate covered chip?
They're fantastic.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. They're excellent. Yes.
It's like there's a place in Kansas City that makes chocolate covered bacon. I tell people, I'm like, it's great. It doesn't even taste like bacon because the just like saltiness and the sweetness just overload everything else, and you just it's anything that's chocolate covered and salty, basically.
That sounds okay.
Didn't sell you on it. Okay. Well, before we get to our next segment, anything else?
No, just want to mention middle school, same kind of thing. So our Lighthouse team at the middle school, they're kind of our leadership team that kind of drive our Leader in Me efforts. That's, am I correct on that, Ms. Lydon?
Yes.
Okay. They're actually this month, they're doing their food drive. Ms. Lydon talked about traditions in the middle school. That's another great tradition they have, and kids really get into that. And I think there's a pizza party involved for the winning. Is that right?
Yeah. We moved our food drive to January a few years ago. Just kind of, I think a lot of times people are very eager to donate during the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we work with the ministry center here and figure out what their needs are. And so we do our food drive in January and February. And our student Lighthouse is a team of kids that lead a lot of stuff. And actually, one of the things you were talking about when you said interviews, we do have Leadership Day coming up. It's part of Leader in Me program, and the pandemic kind of crushed it. So we haven't been able to have one now for a few years. So it's April 4th, and there will be a lot of community members invited. Invites will be going out. It is all student-led. You won't hear a teacher necessarily speak. They do everything from designing the table decorations to meal planning to decorating the school to teaching lessons on the 7 habits of highly effective teens. They will show you their notebooks. It's all very, very student-led, and that's what we're about at the middle school as well. So there will be a lot of opportunities for community members to get in and see what's going on at the middle school in April.
That's awesome. That sounds fun. Well, anything else for the next silly segment?
No. High school is busy as always. Girls, boys, basketball, cruising. Wrestling is doing well. We're heading to we've got some freshmen that are competing right now, young but doing really well. Overall, great time to be a Spook Hound, that's for sure.
feel like I've asked this before, but I also feel like it's different when it's colder outside and snowy the morning we record this. But is it difficult to, you know, pick and choose what sporting events to go to?
Kind of is. This is one thing. This is a little unique for me. My previous stop, we had a couple of sports that we were okay in, but Maryville has just had a long history of being very good, not just in sports, but activities. Mm-hmm. And so we've got kids that are just sold out to represent our school district really well, and they do. And so it's so much fun to go. I mean, just, I'm actually, tonight I'm debuting my announcing for the girls basketball game. I'm a little bit nervous. So we'll see how that turns out. But anyway, just a lot of opportunities to watch students perform at really high levels.
I'll let Matt know not to heckle you.
Please do. Please do.
Because the whole reason I even asked that was because he was like, yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. I saw him at a few football games. I haven't seen any. Of course, he doesn't go to all the basketball games.
Yes.
So it's almost like this kind of not at the same time yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll be announcing tonight.
I think people would be surprised if you looked at the calendars and how many different groups of kids are in different areas. So a lot of times, you know, I might be in Chillicothe and Dr. Lightfoot's in Maryville and Mr. Bue's in St. Joe, and there's just, yeah.
Yep. That's a lot of stuff, a lot of opportunities for our kids, and wouldn't have that any other way, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, moving on to, I guess, our final segment before we wrap things up, which is our Better Know a Superintendent. I don't remember whether I should call you Kate or Miss Linden.
Whatever. Kate's fine. Miss Lyden, so, whatever.
Lyden. Yeah, as I awkwardly asked that 36 minutes into the show. So you can answer these questions as well, Kate. Basically, these are just random off-the-wall questions. Some serious, some not. But I kind of wanted to ask about Christmas and the holidays in particular because we did not meet last month. And so I kind of wanted to think of a Christmas question or holiday question. And I think the one I got was, what was your favorite gift during the holidays as a child?
Ooh, great question, Jeremy.
And it can be one of those things like you were really pumped about and then, you know, like most kids a week later, you never played with it again.
Yeah, I can answer that, actually. So my birthday is on Christmas. My birthday is Christmas Day. And so it was always unique. And anyway, we still carry this tradition in my family to this day. We have something called Happy Cake. It's red velvet cake. When the Happy Cake comes out, Christmas is over and birthday starts. So when I was like 8 years old, the Happy Cake came out, and we were doing, anyway, I had an aunt in California that sent me a birthday gift, and I opened it up, and this was, you got to understand, this was like mid-1980s, and it was a Nintendo. And I was probably the only kid.
SNES?
No.
Or NES.
The NES.
Ooh.
I was like the only kid in Denison, Texas that had a Nintendo. And I will tell you, I wish I could say I had something that was, you know, very, you know, much more meaningful to me than a superficial Nintendo. But boy, did that make the year of an 8-year-old boy, is getting a Nintendo.
Sorry, this is a guy moment. What games did you get?
So I was the classic Mario Duck Hunt, mm-hmm. But I ended up with my birthday money, I went and bought Akari Warriors.
Do you remember, and I swear I'm the only one from at least my age group that remembers this, that giant pad, it was for, I think it was the Olympics game that they released on it.
Power pad.
It was a giant pad, and you would run on it.
I used my hands. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, as a kid, you're like, wait, I'm using my legs like a sucker, and you just sit down and, yeah. Like, that was revolutionary, I just want to say. And it was really cool for, you know, that era.
Yes. Yeah, I would, yeah. But getting the NES, and the kicker of it was, like, my parents didn't know I was getting it. I mean, this is a big gift, and mm-hmm. an aunt that I hardly ever saw. And so, like, it was like a surprise gift, and oh, man.
Well, you know, when people talk about how expensive video games are, because I think, like, whatever the ones are now, PS5 and Xbox One, I think, it's like $500 new, and everyone's like, oh, that's so expensive. I'm like, you know, back in the day, a Super Nintendo or NES or Sega, those were also a couple $100. I think when the N64 came out, it was like $600 or something. Mm-hmm. So, just, you know, video game consoles have always been expensive.
They have.
But my parents had the old, maybe yours did too, Pong for the TV that you would just like, they had like some really poor person brand. I can't remember what it was. But well, that was like the NES was very much kind of a groundbreaking like thing. It was basically like the gauntlet had been thrown. Atari was no longer the king.
I would agree. And we had a lot of Nintendo games in the Lightfoot basement.
So you were probably the coolest kid in town that whole year.
For the sole reason I had Nintendo. Let me be clear on that. No other reason but that.
I mean, it's kind of like the kid with the pool in the summer.
Yeah, I was the kid.
Everyone's
the
pool, your best friend until it's back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't mean to steal any of your thunder if you had a gift or...
No, you're good.
No Nintendos, Miss Lydon?
There were. I have three brothers, so I didn't get a lot of...
What games did they get?
I don't even have a clue. Didn't have a lot of... I have a sister, too, so I was told to go outside quite often as the fourth child. But I had a Cricket doll, and I was five. And I'd been sick, and that's a long story. But anyways, this Cricket doll, you put tapes in the back of it, like Teddy Ruxpin, but it was and so I still have her. And she would read tapes too, and her mouth moved, and like it was the big gift of the year, and I got one. So she's tucked away up in the attic now, but I still have Cricket.
Well, I would say mine is an N64, so... Well done. That's our bonding moment.
Yes, well done, Jeremy.
Because I got a Super Nintendo and I was... what was I, six? But I don't remember that as well as I do the N64, because that was the big transition from like 2D to 3D video gaming.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But the next question I have is kind of in the same realm. You know, I feel like snow days have kind of evolved over the years, and so anyone who's young listening, I kind of want to have them hear us discuss our favorite snow day activity. Like when you woke up, I would say maybe I would wake up like 6 a.m, get ready to see if my school was canceled. And then as soon as it was canceled, I just immediately knew what I was going to do for the day. And a lot of it was just trying to find the biggest hill and seeing how fast we could go down it and as recklessly as possible, I might add. So what were your favorite snow day activities?
That would be mine. We had, like I said, I grew up in a pretty decent sized family. And then on top of that, just the neighborhood kids, and my parents' house had an empty lot with a hill off the side of it. So we started there usually. And I mean, there was all sorts of them. I had a brother who was a skateboarder. We would pack the ramp and we'd launch off it and see how far we could go. We'd go down the alleys. So it was a lot of outside, go inside to get some lunch and warm up and then back out with the neighborhood kids. So definitely outside.
Now, did you do the mistake that some of us made and have someone physically be the ramp?
No, I don't think we ever tried that one.
Good.
I did.
I would not encourage that.
I did go underneath some cars in the driveway. It was when they had the long, like, toboggan-type sleds, and I was laying down and just shot me right underneath the car. So,
really?
Yeah, I didn't sit up. I was safe, but good memories for sure.
So mine, I'm going to actually go from high school for mine. I definitely did the sledding, but... one of my good friends, I played soccer with him in high school. He was the son of the superintendent where I went to school at. And he kind of knew we did this, but a couple of my other buddies, we called ourselves the Snow Bandits. And on nights that it was, I lived in Nebraska, so we didn't get snow. We got gobs of snow. And so on nights that, you know, it was kind of iffy, were you going to have snow or not, we would go to the superintendent's house, and we would take a trash can and fill it with snow and put it at the edge of the driveway and, you know, just have a little pile of snow there. Mm-hmm. Our idea was, well, if he saw this pile of snow, he's not even going to get out in his car and he'll just call school right there. And so one night we did this and we kind of like hid and watched to see if he was going to come out. And I distinctly remember him coming outside, looking at this pile of snow and shaking his head and taking one foot and kicking it out of the way and then pulling his car out and leaving. So the snow bandits weren't very effective.
Not to encourage this, but do students do that still?
They have not yet, but I will tell you, yesterday I was in the high school and I was walking through the hallways and I think we have about 150 aspiring meteorologists because I got lots of loud comments of, boy, it's pretty bad out there. We probably should get out of school right about now. So anyway, for what it is worth, I have a lot of high school students that really do keep their eye on the weather on snow days.
Well, I mean, it's so much easier now with phones as well.
It is.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on. Once again, that is Maryville Superintendent Logan Lightfoot, as well as the next principal of the Maryville Middle School, Kate Lydon. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been the Spoof Hound Spotlight right here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.